It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
A bomb from Thomas.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Celtics Post Show right here on CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for the Boston Celtics. Don't forget, you guys can also find us on your terrestrial radio dial at ESPN Radio New Hampshire. That's 912.50 AM up there in the beautiful Granite State. And, of course, we always stream this thing live at ESPNNHradio.com. I am your host, Patrick Gilroy, tonight alongside Josue Pavone and my good friend Jared Scaly behind the glass, breaking down the Celtics' 105-99 loss at the hands of the new-look Chicago Bulls. And we're going to get right into this thing, guys. The number to join us here, is, of course, as always, is 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. That is your Movement Watches toll-free phone line. But, guys, right off the bat, Josue, this Bulls team is sort of an enigma. It's a team that people are looking to try and figure out. Is it a team that can make a run here in the Eastern Conference this year? Can you depend on guys like Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo for the long haul? Tonight, Dwayne Wade looked masterful.
Yeah, he looked like old school Wade, man. He looked like someone that's just been ready to prove himself. And like you said, there's a lot of people thinking that this team is not going to be someone that's going to, or a team that's going to be able to crack this playoff playoff spot. I mean, I was watching the pregame show, and these guys from TNT, you know, they were sort of a bit torn, and they were saying, like, they're throwing out a lot of ifs out there. And I think that Dwayne Wade, Rondo, Butler, I think everyone feels that, and they feel like they're not being taken seriously. So they came out with all that intensity and all that motivation to come out and prove everybody wrong in the first game of the regular season.
So Dwayne Wade, of course, making his homecoming back to Chicago, his hometown, goes for 22 points on 7 of 18 shooting. The big number there for Dwayne Wade is 4 for 6 from three-point land. It's the first time in 3 years he's had 4 3-pointers in an NBA game, looking like the Dwayne Wade of old, coming up huge at the end of the game when the Celtics made another one of their runs, and we'll get into why this was a game of runs, and runs, by the way, that the Celtics couldn't come all the way back and complete. We'll get into the reasons why, the problems on the glass, specifically the offensive glass, as the program rolls along. So Dwayne Wade comes as advertised, but Josue, I know that you know, you're a believer in this Bulls team, but for this team to be successful,
don't call me a believer.
No. There's many people that have said that this team is not going to be all that good, but every time somebody says that, you're like, you're the dissenting voice. You say, no, the voice of opposition. This team could be very good. They need more from Rajon Rondo. I was unimpressed by his 4 points and 9 assists. Out there tonight. Look, Rajon Rondo is a guy that, quite frankly, how the mighty have fallen. We're talking about a guy that, from NBA champion to a guy that was rumored to be getting a $100 million deal, to a guy that could have been traded for Chris Paul, to a guy that got a one-year, $8 million deal in a league that gave Timothy Mozgov 64-4. So Rajon Rondo is very much in a prove-it-to-me year. And you know, 9 assists is nice, but 4 points just isn't going to get it done if the Bulls expect to do things with their upcoming season.
No, he looked horrible today, Patrick, and it seemed like he just kept itching for assists. And I like one quote from Mike Fratello, who's doing the color commentary tonight, where he said, "It looks like Rajon Rondo would rather find an assist than make an easy layup." How many times when he was in Boston did we say that, especially in those later years? Post Big Three, or even the last year of the Big Three, or before he went down, I should say, before the ACL injury, would do that often. He looks like someone again who keeps trying to find assists, and just he shies away from scoring. And tonight was an example of he didn't necessarily have to score, but he didn't look like someone, like you said, who's fresh off a brand new contract, still trying to prove himself, because that second year isn't guaranteed.
It is the Celtics postgame show right here on CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com, ESPN New Hampshire Radio, ESPNNHradio.com. And, of course, our opening segment, as always, is powered by Indochino, whose made-to-measure suits will have you guys looking like $1 million. Don't forget, use our promo code GARDEN. That $1 million suit will cost you just $389. That's 50% off the regular price just by using promo code GARDEN. You'll want to visit their Boston showroom. It's conveniently located right there on Newbury Street. Everybody knows where Newbury Street is. No excuse. You can get there. You want to get fitted for that made-to-measure suit so you guys can start looking as sharp as us. You want to visit the showroom just like we did. Get fitted. I'm telling you guys, it was a truly amazing experience. These guys make you feel a lot more important than you really are. So head on over to Indochino.com, that promo code GARDEN, or better yet, stop by their Newbury Street location and mention the word GARDEN. Get that suit for 50% off, just $389. The Celtics lose on the road tonight, second night of a back-to-back, a situation where the Celtics went 12-7 last year. It was a calling card and a staple of the Celtics' success last year to be successful on the second night of a back-to-back. The Celtics lose in their first opportunity this year at the hands of the new-look Chicago Bulls, 105-99. Celtics absolutely manhandled on the glass, Josue, 55-36. They lose the rebounding battle. It gets even uglier. Throughout the course of these 48 minutes, the Celtics were only able to get themselves 3 offensive boards, the Chicago Bulls, 18 offensive rebounds. We can get into why the Celtics lost, the story of the game, the fact that the Celtics probably outplayed, out-hustled, and I know that they outshot percentage-wise the Chicago Bulls. It doesn't matter. When you get manhandled on the glass in the fashion that the Celtics did tonight, it's very difficult to win NBA basketball games.
It is. It's very difficult, and it's a problem that we saw a lot throughout the regular season last year. Another thing that bothered me about the way the Celtics played tonight, Patrick, was the way that they were just sort of – I feel like they looked stagnant on offense. They were sort of – I know the Bulls kind of hit them with a 1-2 punch so early on in the first quarter, but I felt like a lot of the times the Celtics would speed up the game, which is when they play at their best, in my opinion, when it's fast-break basketball, when they're pushing the ball around, when they're rotating the ball the way the Bulls were. They're a much different ball club. I felt like at times when the Celtics crawled back and they were within 3 or 4 points, they went back to being stagnant. They went back to making a couple passes and letting the last guy who touched the ball make a move to the hoop and try to play sort of hero ball. I saw a couple of plays where it seemed like Jay Crowder was sort of forcing his shots over his defender. There were times where in the beginning of the fourth quarter, there were times where he was able to knock down a couple threes from the corner. He was able to do that classic one dribble shot that Crowder usually does. But sometimes I feel like when the Celtics need to keep rotating the ball, when they need to keep trying to find an open guy and spread the floor and create space, that's when they're at their best. And at times when Crowder and Isaiah Thomas finally turned things on a little bit in the fourth quarter, he sort of found his rhythm. But I never felt that confident in him in terms of like him finding that offensive rhythm that we're used to seeing him in the fourth quarter. I feel like there were other guys like Jay Crowder and Avery Bradley. Well, Avery Bradley, to me, completely shied away in the fourth quarter, which is something that you don't want from him. He's your second best scorer. He's the Celtics' second go-to guy when they need buckets. And then I felt like when they turned to Horford, it was too little too late. That play out of the timeout when there was a minute left, I thought that was a play that they should have been doing for Horford minutes before that, when they had a chance to really tie the game. I don't know. I'm a little beside myself. I'm trying to put this all together right now, Patrick. I just feel like, hey, we're looking at this team right now, and we're talking about going into this regular season. We're talking about how important Al Horford is. I'm not saying Al Horford is a guy who you need to give him the ball and he's going to take over in the fourth quarter, but I think he's a guy that you need to give him opportunities to score when you need him most. And I felt like there were opportunities for him to step up, and there just weren't plays designed for him.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Josue, because this is somewhere where I want to go this evening. Look, Horford with another solid effort, if you want to call it that, 11 points, 7 rebounds in what, 30 minutes tonight. A solid effort, very similar stat line to opening. But that's not what they're paying this guy for. It felt exactly like to me, up until that fourth quarter out-of-bounds play that was designed for Horford, he was getting buckets in a similar fashion to the way that Amir Johnson gets his. It's accidental offense. It's okay. It's a broken play that he makes the best of. The Celtics clearly haven't put an emphasis on getting the best out of Al Horford offensively through two games. I will give the Celtics a bit of a break here, though. It is two games. They are implementing an all-star caliber player into their roster, into their starting lineup. It is an undermanned Celtics team. You know, this, you brought up Jay Crowder. Look, he didn't force too much tonight. He only took six shots, missed only two of them, 4 for 6 from the field. Offense wasn't really the problem here for the Celtics. Overall, they shot 50% from the field, but it was a game of runs. And so many of these runs, the Celtics were responsible for killing their momentum. And I hate to put some of the blame on the back of a guy like Isaiah Thomas, who led the Celtics in scoring with 25 points, shot great from the field, 10 of 15 from the field, 3 of 7 from 3. But it felt like to me, especially in that fourth quarter, Celtics were coming back, coming back, coming back. Nothing halts momentum like missed free throws. And if you missed it on the Jumbotron tonight, when Isaiah went 0 for 2 with about 2.5 minutes to go, the entire Chicago Bulls crowd got a free Chick-fil-A sandwich. So that was game to me. All right. Everybody got a Chick-fil-A game over, go home, World Series game tomorrow night.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fun time to be in Chicago. It's a fun time to be a Chicago fan right now. Yeah, absolutely. Well, let me ask you this, Patrick. What do you think about Jaylen Brown being in the situation that he was at the end of the fourth quarter?
I felt really good about it up until the last 2 minutes of the game.
I agree.
You know, the game tightened up. He's just not ready for that yet. He made a couple of boneheaded plays, but it's tough to blame the kid. He just turned 22 days ago. Overall, Jaylen Brown played extended in the fourth quarter. Second game in a row, by the way, where he's played extended minutes overall, 26 minutes for Jaylen this evening, goes 4 for 7 from the field, contributes 8 points, but he was a -6 while he was out there. That's a number you need to pay attention to. I did like the fact that Brad Stevens had the confidence in Jaylen to go out there and play with the starters in crunch time in the fourth quarter. And look, when you look at what this Celtics team was able to do, mounting comeback, you give them credit for that. And I think it took a giant pair of you-know-whats for Brad Stevens to leave Jaylen Brown out there in the fourth quarter. Jaylen was a big part of why the Celtics came back, trailing by, 12 with 6 minutes to go. He was on the floor when the Celtics made their run and was a big contributor to that run. But is the 19-just-turned-20-year-old rookie really the guy that you want out there with 2 minutes to go and what has become a two-point game? It is the Celtics post-game show right here on CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com. I'm your host, Patrick Gilroy, alongside Josue Pavone. We've got our good friend Jared Scally behind the glass. Celtics lose tonight on the road, 105-99 to the Chicago Bulls. I want to go right to our Movement Watches phone lines this evening. Of course, the number, as always, to join us here, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. Nick Sesento has decided to call in on his off night and join the program this evening. Nick Sesento, what's on your mind, my friend?
Yeah, just left the United Center parking lot, so I witnessed the game firsthand, unfortunately.
You get around. I got to give you credit.
I try. You know, I have friends up in the Chicago area. I was actually, you know, even though most of my family is from Boston and from New Bedford, Boston area, I actually have, you know, lifelong friends up here in Chicago. So I got a chance to stay with some friends, meet some friends. I had a plane ticket that didn't go through down to South America. So I was like, well, what game do I want to see? Well, I have friends in Chicago. Let me go to opening day in Chicago and watch the Celtics play. So it was fun. There was other Celtics fans in the section that I was in. They got a little bit of grief, too, but I really thought we had a chance to just, you already mentioned it, no rebounding. Didn't seem like there was really a go-to guy in the, you know, in the end. To me, it just didn't seem like that. There's really no post play. I don't see the post presence in this team. And I think that, you know, bringing in Al Horford is a positive, definitely a bonus. But, I mean, 11 points and what, 6, 7 rebounds, something like that. I mean, is that, you know, for a 30-plus-year-old player, is that really a, you know, max contract? I think he's going to work himself in. I don't think it's time to start asking them questions. I just didn't see any post presence whatsoever on defense or on offense. Now, granted, I was in the nosebleed, so I didn't get to see everything. But I think that, you know, I just didn't see a go-to player in the clutch. Jaylen Brown is not that go-to player, and I love Jaylen Brown. I think he's a great player. I think he has a lot of talent. I just don't think that you want him to have the ball in his hands at that moment in time with the, you know, the game on the line, 2 points down. That's just not where he's supposed to be. I just didn't see a go-to player most of the game. I didn't see a post presence on offense or defense most of the game, and I definitely didn't see rebounding. We just didn't get rebounds when we needed them.
So I got to, while you're on the phone here, Nick, I gotta throw this out because, you know, we can talk about Al Horford, but I don't wanna kill him too prematurely here. He's played well. He certainly hasn't played up to his capabilities. But you said the Celtics have had no defensive presence in the post. I have to strongly disagree. Al Horford opened the season last night with four block shots against the Nets. He has another one tonight. That four block shots Al Horford had last night would have represented the largest number of block shots in a game last season for the Celtics. So, yeah, it hasn't been all sunshine and roses offensively for Horford. But defensively, I think he's done it more than done his job, and he's provided the Celtics with a legitimate post defender that makes opposing players think twice before going into the paint.
Oh, I definitely agree that it's an upgrade. I missed the Nets game, so I didn't get a chance to see the Nets. But, I mean, at the same time, it's also the Nets. I mean, this game, Nikola Mirotic was, you know, making him look foolish. I think, you know, Robin Lopez is making him look fool. I mean, this is just my perspective from the nosebleeds. I mean, I could be wrong. You know what I mean? And I missed the Brooklyn game, so I don't know what Al Horford did in the Brooklyn game. But that's Brooklyn. I mean, they're probably the worst team in the league. Against the Bulls, who are, I think, going to be a competitive team in the East, maybe not, you know, at the top of the East, but definitely going to be a playoff team in the East. Obviously, I think it's pretty clear they have enough talent to be a playoff team in the East. You know, we just didn't have anybody that stopped their big men or stopped them from driving. Really, there were some nice defensive plays. I saw some great blocks. We had more than a few great blocks. But I think on the whole, we didn't stop, you know, their players from getting on the inside. And I don't think we really stopped the outside shot, especially early. We gave the outside shot to even Rondo hit a three early. We just had some, I think, a step slow rotation. But I don't think there's anything in this game that we saw tonight, or and I didn't watch the game obviously last night, but there's nothing in our game that we can't improve and that we're not going to get better on. I just think it's something that, you know, Brad Stevens is going to have to work on and improve a little bit, because rebounding is really a problem, but definitely not defensively. It's just more of a man defense. I don't see an enforcer in the paint.
Well, I think a lot of that had to do with Meritage. You saw Meritage, he was a bit of a problem from the outside, knocking down a three. Well, he was a constant threat. I mean, he only made one three, but he was a constant threat from outside. He was making shots from the mid-range, and I felt like he was forcing the Celtics bigs to sort of go out there and defend him. And I'm not saying that Jaylen Brown was the reason why he was in the game. I don't think it was because of solely on Meritage, but I think a big reason why he was in that game in that situation in the fourth quarter was because Brad Stevens needed some athleticism, some sort of defensive defensive presence to kind of slow these guys down, to slow down the jump shots, because the Bulls just weren't letting up in the field. They were really failing it. They were starting to warm up again in the fourth quarter, and he saw a moment where if they didn't stop or they didn't, you know, counter the Bulls' attack, that the game's going to be out of their hands. And the Celtics managed to go on to that big run. I believe it was a 16-4 run. That's when they pulled the game within two. And I think Jaylen Brown had a lot to do with that. I think that it was his defensive presence. It was him being there, and it was he was there to sort of help for rebounding purposes as well. I think that's a role for Jaylen Brown that he's going to carry on throughout this rookie season. And of course, with the bench, with the injuries that we've had, and Marcus Smart, and that we've seen with Kelly Olynyk, we're going to see more of Jaylen Brown, and we're going to see more of Brad Stevens trying to figure out how to get the best out of his second unit.
Look, the Celtics lose a heartbreaker tonight at the hands of the Chicago Bulls, an emotional Chicago Bulls victory in Chicago tonight. The homecoming for Dwayne Wade, the debut of Rajon Rondo. The emotion was high in the United Center tonight. The Celtics fell down by 15 early, came all the way back multiple times in this game, almost capped off a dramatic comeback in the fourth quarter. But rookie mistakes by Jaylen Brown ultimately bit the Celtics in the behind on their way out the door. The Celtics lose a heartbreaker, 105-99. It is the Celtics post-game show right here on CLNS Radio, CLNS NHRadio.com, ESPN Radio, ESPN, NHRadio.com. It's Patrick Gilroy, Josue Pavone, Jared Scaly behind the glass. The Movement Watch's toll-free phone lines, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. When we come back, I want to talk about one man and one man only, Tyler Zeller, a guy that fell out of the rotation last year, got a contract that nobody understood in the offseason, and suddenly Tyler Zeller is a man playing meaningful minutes for your Boston Celtics. If you're a Celtics fan, are you comfortable with Tyler Zeller suddenly a big part of the Celtics rotation, a big part of the Celtics front court, and is that a recipe for success or a recipe for disaster? It's the Celtics postgame show. We'll be right back.
This is Jared Weiss from The Garden Report, and I am here to talk to you about Indochino, whose made-to-measure suits will have you looking like $1 million, but with our promo code GARDEN, will cost you just $389. So visit their showroom on Newbury Street in the Back Bay in Boston today to get fitted for your made-to-measure suit, and you can start looking as sharp as we do on The Garden Report Celtics postgame show. We visited the showroom to get fitted, and it was an amazing experience, and we got an amazing, perfectly fitting shirt. So go to Indochino.com and use the promo code GARDEN to get your made-to-measure suit today. That's Indochino, Indochino.com, and use the promo code GARDEN to get your made-to-measure suit today.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As a leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the most unique and informed vantage point and the lowdown on all things Boston Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcast, Celtics Stuff Live, is back and better than ever before. Available Mondays on CLNSradio.com, Internet Radio Pioneers, and Celtics Diehards, John Duke and Justin Poulin go heavy on Boston basketball. With fun and engaging dialogue, CSL interacts with fans with weekly tweeted mailbags, all while featuring guests that are of the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is white hot this NBA season, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the free CLNS Radio mobile app now. Available for your iPhone and Android.
Welcome back. It is the Celtics postgame show right here on CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com, ESPN New Hampshire Radio, ESPN NHRadio.com. You can always find us on your mobile device using the TuneIn app. And, of course, you want to head on over to your mobile device marketplace and download the CLNS Radio app. The Celtics lose on the road tonight to the Chicago Bulls, 105-99. I'm your host, Patrick Gilroy, tonight alongside Josue Pavone, Jared Scaly, behind the glass, looking forward to a phone call from CLNS, a Garden Report host, Jared Weiss. And I want to say this about Jared before we hear from him tonight. When I introduce him, I think I have to introduce him not only as host of the Garden Report, but as a Sports Illustrated contributor. Did you guys see that this week?
That's right.
That was awesome. That's awesome. Like, awesome. I'm a big guy. Yeah. I mean, I grew up in the 80s and early 90s. That was my sort of coming of age time with my love of the NBA. At 36 years old, I caught the tail end of the original Big Three era. I suffered through the Rick Fox, Ala Abdelnaby, D. Brown, Kevin Gable, Xavier McDaniel.
That's when I started watching. I missed the good days before that.
It took us into the Todd Day and Blue Edwards, Purvis Ellison days, which graduated us to the Jim O'Brien, Antoine Walker, Paul Pierce days. But through all of those days, the one constant in the NBA was David Stern. And I have to say, if you're an NBA junkie, like anybody that's listening to this program right now probably is, Jerry had an opportunity last week to catch up with David Stern, the former commissioner of the NBA, a guy that was so instrumental in the new modern day NBA. All of the little intricacies that you see in today's game that weren't there 20 years ago, they're all because of one guy, the vision of one guy, the balls of one guy to go out there and tinker with a game that some people said he shouldn't have tinkered with. And look at the product now. Look at the young offensive stars. If you watched SportsCenter this morning and you had an opportunity to see what these young stars did last night, guys like Anthony Davis going off for 50 points, Damian Lillard just being a true MVP candidate, guys are stepping up. And right now, the NBA has never been more offensively gifted than it is today. And a big part of that is what David Stern brought to the league, his vision for the league. And our very own Jared Weiss had an opportunity to sit down, have a conversation with a guy that is truly a living legend in David Stern. It blew my mind. I was blown away by the article. And now when he comes on the program, our lowly little post-game show, normally I say Jared Weiss, host of The Garden Report, which is a great program, not to put that program down. It's a phenomenal right. program. But it sort of falls by the wayside when you couple that with, oh, yeah, by the way, Sports Illustrated contributor Jared Weiss.
Yeah, that certainly overshadows the Garden Report just by a little bit. That's true. One more thing I just want to say about the whole David Stern, about what you're saying about David Stern. You look at what he was able to do for the game from a global point of view. I mean, you see all these guys coming in from Europe. You see a whole new style that's into the NBA now, and you got the Euro League. That's something some people would say is right there next to the NBA, caught up to the talent that we're seeing here in the NBA. And a lot of that had to do with David Stern. He really set the bar for how big he can make NBA basketball, and he really globalized this sport that we love to watch so much.
Absolutely. A big force in globalizing the sport. A big reason why when you tune into NBA games, you see these guys playing in Mexico, playing in Europe, playing in China. Yeah. And eventually, I'm a true believer that the NBA will have a home team located in Europe. And that the original vision for that came from David Stern. I was also relieved and happy to learn when reading the article that David Stern is still very much involved in the NBA as a consultant. They value his opinion. He may or may not be involved in the current CBA conversations, but look, a guy like that shouldn't just fall off the map. And it's good to see a guy like David Stern keeping himself involved with the league that he sort of he developed into what it is today. So good for Jared, good for David. I'm talking about all of this because I'm reluctant to talk about the Celtics. They lost on the road tonight to a team I feel they should have beat, a team that I think overall when the season comes to an end sometime in April, ultimately the Celtics will have a better record than the Chicago Bulls. They will ultimately be a better team than the Chicago Bulls. But nevertheless, the Celtics lose on the road tonight, 105-99. The story of the game is the Celtics' inability, once again, to do anything on the glass. Not hold their own, not make it respectable. They got their asses handed to them on the glass tonight, out-rebounded by the Chicago Bulls, 55-36. Celtics come up with just 3 offensive boards to the Bulls' staggering 18 offensive boards. Therein lies the story of the game. I don't care what you want to talk about offensively for the Celtics. They shot 50% from the field. Everybody that played pretty much contributed offensively. Everybody did their job offensively. Even defensively, it wasn't bad for the Celtics. It was all about their rebounding and their inability to rebound, which leads me to my point. It's a long, drawn-out way of getting where I'm going. We all know that the Celtics can play. Their centers can play. Tyler Zeller has always been able to play basketball and play basketball effectively, specifically on the offensive end. Every time he comes in, he contributes. Last year, he would sit 7, 8, 9, 10 games in a row, come in and suddenly give you an 8, 10, 12-point outburst. Then you say, wow, this guy can legitimately play offensively. Why don't the Celtics play him more? And the answer is twofold, defense and rebounding. He struggles in both those areas. He's just not a gifted athlete, although he does surprise you occasionally with some dunks that you don't know where they come from. But generally, especially on the defensive end, he generally hurts you more than he helps you. And he's not, for a seven-footer, he's not the type of rebounder that you would expect. So all that being said, the Celtics do find value in him. They brought him back on an $8 million deal. somewhat team-friendly because the second year of the deal is non-guaranteed. If Danny Ainge would like to make a big trade at some point in the season, it gives Danny a pretty hefty contract to trade. Everybody's always looking for a seven-footer, so he's got value around the league. But suddenly, at least two games here, Josue, he seems to be a part of the Celtics rotation. He wasn't a part of the regular rotation last year on a team that went ahead and won 48 games. Is this only because Kelly Olynyk is out, or are the Celtics going to lean on this guy a lot more than anybody could have anticipated?
I think that's part of the reason. If Kelly Olynyk is in the mix, then clearly Zeller would be the odd man out. But I think a big reason of why he's getting minutes is because of what he's able to do around the glass. I mean, he can score around the hoop. He has great hands. He's a great target for guys like Isaiah Thomas and Terry Rozier. I think the Celtics utilize that, and they know that how important that is to have someone that can finish and can run the floor on the fast break and can give you that boost off the bench offensively. When Kelly Olynyk comes back, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. Zeller is probably going to be head towards the back end of the rotation, or the back end of the bench, I should say. But right now, he's making a really strong case for himself. I mean, last night, I feel like was overlooked because of what happened, obviously, the fourth quarter, that mess that the reserves did. But I think Zeller was certainly a bright spot that came off the bench. He scored about, if I'm not mistaken, about 13 points, was instant offense. Him, Jarebko, Rozier, they're sort of those, or even Jaylen Brown too. Those four are really the meat of the bench right now, without Marcus Smart and Kelly Olynyk. But I don't hate this at all. I mean, Zeller clocked in 20 minutes. He started the second half. I feel like Coach Stevens was looking for some sort of offense, some sort of spark to push this team and go ahead of the Bulls. And unfortunately, that never happened. But I enjoy his play, and I enjoy seeing him out there. Defensively, you can see a little bit of an improvement. He still kind of drives me nuts when he leaves his feet. That was one play from last night's Brooklyn game that drove me crazy, because he does that all the time. You know, you give him an up fake near the hoop, and he's going to bite almost every single time. And in certain instances, he's sort of like a fouling machine. He had three tonight. But aside from, like you said, that's a big reason why Amir Johnson is starting over him. But, hey, tonight it was Zeller who got more minutes than Johnson. So it's going to be interesting to see how they do that, how they work them both and moving forward.
So at least until Kelly Olynyk comes back, it looks like Tyler Zeller is going to be a regular part of this team's rotation. Team that's somewhat deficient offensively, or at least they were last year, look, he's a welcome addition on the offensive end, but they still have to figure out this rebounding issue, this interior defense issue, if they're going to sort of have the success that everybody is predicting for this team. And you look at a guy like Jordan Mickey, he's once again back up in Maine, doing things in Maine. The question really becomes, is Jordan going to get his opportunity to come to Boston and see if he can give this team a legitimate interior defensive presence and a guy that's known for two things, shot blocking and rebounding? It seems to me that that's exactly what the Celtics are missing on the defensive end. Everybody came into this season, Josue, very concerned because the Celtics suddenly lost Evan Turner. And look, I'm a big Evan Turner guy. I love what he did for the Celtics last year. But let's face facts here. Evan Turner came to the Celtics 2 years ago with zero expectations, a guy that was – they couldn't get him out of Indiana fast enough. Coach Stevens took him, molded him, got the best out of Evan Turner. And for that, Evan Turner and his family and his kids and his grandkids and his great grandkids should be eternally grateful, because that contract is going to live on for generations of Turners if they handle money correctly. But I tell you what, the Celtics have done a pretty good job here, at least overcoming the offensive deficit of losing Evan Turner. We all know Evan Turner played meaningful minutes, specifically in crunch time. But the Celtics are getting offensive contributions from the other guys that they're going to lean on. 8 points tonight for Terry Rozier. Jaylen Brown goes for 8 points tonight. Jarebko gives you two. A guy that disappointed tonight was Gerald Green. He looked pretty good last night in the Celtics home opener. But if you ask me, I feel like Gerald Green and Jonas Jarebko, we're going to have this same conversation as the season goes along. These are guys that are going to play much better at home than they do on the road. This is the life and death of fringe NBA talent. When they're at home, they're much more comfortable. They're going to come in, they're going to contribute, and they're going to be good players. They're going to give the Celtics solid contributions for the minutes they're on the, that they're on the floor when they're at home. But Evan Turner thrived on the road. And that's where I think the Celtics will miss his veteran presence, a guy that brought some calm, some cool, some collectiveness to the closing minutes of games. And you have to wonder, and this is what I found myself wondering, if you remove Jaylen Brown from the equation when the Celtics are down by two with 2 minutes to go tonight and you insert Evan Turner, does this game end differently for the Celtics?
Possibly. Possibly. Well,
is that really the best answer you can give me? Is maybe?
I mean, okay, all right. Yeah, it would be a different outcome. It would be a different outcome, but I mean, I don't understand why. See, okay, if Evan Turner were to make the same mistake that he made, I mean, that would be a lot more shocking. But what baffled me was the attempt. I mean, he was getting ready to actually take that shot, and then he changed his mind the last second. I just didn't understand what he. I didn't understand why he thought it was his. That was his moment to be aggressive offensively. And yeah, they're going to miss Evan Turner because of those moments that he would come up big. Someone other than Isaiah Thomas would come up big at the end of games. And yes, that's a moment that we would like to see Marcus Smart start to come up big for the Celtics at the end of games. But in the meantime, I really don't understand why he took that shot. And I think a lot of that has to do with. Maybe him trying to be, I don't know, overconfident maybe, or maybe he just sort of just a brain fart, like you said earlier, or just a bad play. But I don't think – well, Patrick, do you think that play decided the game?
I think that play was another momentum-stopping play. And if you look back at this game, and I will replay it in the morning, this was a game where the Celtics made runs, and whether it was the Bulls and a guy like Dwayne Wade hitting a big shot or having a big defensive presence at later points in the game, there was always something that stopped the Celtics' momentum. And they weren't over to sort of overcome the deficit that they built for themselves and do what they had to do to cap off this game. The Celtics can only blame themselves, whether it be a turnover, giving up a big three, multiple offensive rebounds. They were their own worst enemy. DLNSradio.com. The Movement Watches toll-free phone line is 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. These phone lines are brought to you by Movement Watches. Department store watches, we all know they cost $400, $500, $600, but the good folks over at Movement Watches have done one brilliant thing. They've taken that middleman out of the equation, and they're passing the savings directly onto you, onto me, onto Josue, onto us regular guys that can't afford a $500 watch. Movement Watches are slick, they're fashionable, most important, they are affordable, start at just $95. Head on over to movementwatches.com. That's MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. That'll give you 15% off your first order and, of course, free shipping. That's movementwatches.com, MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Get 15% off, gets you free shipping on your $95 watch that looks like a $500 watch. It is the Celtics Post Game Show. Right now, I want to bring on the phone lines host of the Garden Report and Sports Illustrated contributor, Jared Weiss, to the program. Jared, the Celtics are 1-1. Are you freaking out like the rest of us here?
They're not undefeated anymore. So much for that happening.
82-0 is officially out the window. So if you started to write that column for Sports Illustrated, I guess you can put that one in the old trash.
That's all right. I think I'm probably not going to ever really get started on that one. But hey, 81-1 isn't out of the question, right? They're gonna have to rebound on the defensive end a little bit better if they want to win the rest of the season, though.
I'm glad you brought that up. So look, the Celtics shot 50% from the field tonight. They got solid offensive contributions from the guys that you would expect them to get their offense from. Offense really wasn't the problem tonight. If you want to pinpoint one reason Celtics losing, it's they got manhandled on the glass. Looking at their roster and forgetting about external moves that they could possibly make later on down the line. Is this going to be a trend as the season goes along here? Do they not have the horses to be at least an average rebounding team?
No, not really. I mean, you know, the thing is, this is something that Steven said after the game, which was a good point, was that they boxed out, and then guys like Avery Bradley would go in for the rebound. Guys like Marcus Smart would go in for the rebound. Really, last season, Marcus Smart was their best rebounder. So if you're a team that doesn't have guys that are going to win their individual box out battles or reach battles down low, then you want them to be shoving their asses into their defenders or the offensive players and trying to clear space for guards to come and get those rebounds. They don't have a lot of guys on the roster right now that can do that very well. So they're relying, and you guys were talking about missing Evan Turner's presence there. You know, Evan Turner, a big thing he did in fourth quarters was he was a really effective rebounder. He was one of those wings that would come in and fly in for rebounds. And they've got Jay Crowder, who does that really well. They brought in Gerald Green, who actually can rebound at a comparable level to Turner. I mean, Turner's really good for a three at rebounding, but Green is good too. I mean, Green, he moves well, and he's obviously one of the greatest athletes like in the history of sports. So he's still a good rebounder. But, yeah, it's kind of like Steven said. They need guys like Horford to box out well, because when they're small, they're relying on their smaller guys to fly in there and get those rebounds. And they are small most of the time in the fourth quarter.
Jared,
yeah,
last
Jared,
night.
I think they had – oh, sorry. I just want
no,
to get one
ahead.
Quick
go ahead.
Question.
Go ahead.
All right, yeah, Jared, the last minute of that game, I feel like that's a big reason why Jaylen Brown's in the game. I feel like they're trying to use his athleticism for rebounding purposes. Of course, he made one of the biggest boneheaded plays of the night towards the end of the fourth quarter there in that last minute. Do you think that this is something that Stevens needs to think about, maybe doing an offense-defense thing where, you know, that was a big mistake on his part for him to have Jaylen Brown still in the game on the offensive possession there?
I don't think this is one of those games where you're calling a timeout every single possession change to sub in and out. You know, if they really wanted to do that, they probably would have. They could have done like a Zeller or Mir interchange, but I don't think that was that kind of situation. I think he wants these teams to develop rhythm. It's the second game of the season. I don't think they're at that point yet. But I mean, really, they just got to let Jaylen get in there and make those mistakes. I mean, he made that boneheaded play. He had one really bad defensive play on a drive in the last minute of the game also. But otherwise, he made a lot of nice impact plays tonight, and he's pretty much impacting the game in the same way he was in preseason, which has been really impressive, because, I mean, we've seen so many guys that look good in preseason, and then they get to the NBA a week later, and it's way harder because they're playing the best players on each team the entire time. But for Jaylen, he's handling it really well. I mean, he's still not a guy that they want to be closing games with, but when circumstances dictated it, they were able to get away with him in there, and he was not the guy that cost them the game. It was the fact that Dwayne Wade was shooting like I don't know. I was going to make a reference to a previous time, but Dwayne Wade's never shot the ball that well. I mean, I tweeted it earlier. He hasn't hit four threes in a regular season game since January 2013. So that's not going to happen. But you know, like Jaylen, obviously, where he had the up and down where he just forgot to shoot the ball and then panicked. I mean, that was – I think he admitted that after the game. That was just him kind of panicking there. You know, that's going to happen, but the move itself was really good. I mean, he got himself like a pretty – it was a fading shot, but it was a good look way over Nikola Mirotic, where he showed how effective his athleticism is going to be in getting him separation and post – like high post shots. So, you know – obviously he screwed up that play, and then D Wade hit that incredible three on that loose ball on the next play to ice the game, but they're going to live with it, and they're going to go for that again. And there's a good chance it's going to work the next time they go for it.
You're listening to the Celtics post game show right here on CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com, ESPN, New Hampshire Radio, ESPN, nhradio.com. Patrick Gilroy alongside Josue Pavone, Jared Scaly behind the glass on the phone with us right now, host of the Garden Report, Sports Illustrated contributor, Jared Weiss. Jared, looking on the other side of the court tonight, looking at this new-look Chicago Bulls team, are you a believer in what this team is doing? Are you a believer in Rajon Rondo, Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade, trifecta? Is this thing bound for glory, bound for average play, or bound for implosion at some point throughout the season?
I think it's going to be a regression to the mean over time, because this is something that I think a lot of people that have always been supporters of the shooting movement for years now have always said, is that if you put together a team like this that Chicago has, they're going to have nights like tonight where, except for Rondo, obviously, their shots are generally falling. Although Rondo did have a step in three that he hit tonight, but I think
he
that
did.
Was his only
he
shot
did.
He hit. That what? But he went 1-for-9, right? So that was his only shot he hit.
Only shot.
But yeah, but like you're gonna have nights where Wade and Butler are on fire, where they don't. I mean, even their 3-point shooters weren't even really shooting the ball that much tonight. It was really the guys that they don't expect to be getting reliable 3-point shooting, giving it to them. So they're going to have a decent amount of nights like that, but it's going to be the nights where teams feel that they can sag off. And when that happens, I mean, they've got a bunch of guys that can pull off. They can shoot over three people in the paint, but, like, that only works so much. And unless Mirotić and McDermott are on fire and MCW starts shooting the ball, I mean, he had a nice three in the fourth quarter tonight. Yeah, if they can get lucky and have, like, just one of these guys become a three-point shooter they haven't been in the past, like, I think they really hope that MCW can do that because he's going to have a nice role for this team. You know, if that happens, then they have a chance at being, like, a 46-win team or something like that. But if they really aren't shooting the ball and they have, like, six guys in their rotation that they can't count on to shoot past, like, 19 feet, then it's going to be defenses are just going to be able to clog the paint too easily on them, and they're going to rely on their mid range game, and the law of averages is going to play out where they're not hitting the threes and they're not getting that narrow advantage. Because I'm sorry I'm being so long winded on this, but like tonight the Celtics shot 12% better from the field than the Bulls, but they still lost the game because the Bulls had three more threes and they had 13 more second chance points. So that's where the difference and the free throws. The Celtics missed a bunch of free throws tonight. It's just still a problem apparently. But I mean that really shows how just the kind of the law of attrition with and the inertia that you get from three pointers eventually wins out for you. So if they're not going to be a 3-point shooting team, they're on the aggregate going to fall behind the rest of the league when they are shooting threes.
Wait, hold on. So you're telling me that you don't think R.J. Hunter's going to emerge as the go-to 3-point guy on this team, Jared? Is that what you're saying?
Probably not. I mean, you know, good for R.J. that he's settled into a team that, one, he can have some great role models on. I mean, you know, they don't have a guy that really plays his style necessarily, but he's got some great guys to learn from to develop the parts of his game he needs to. Like, if he could just take everything that D Wade can do and add that, just add like snippets of that to his game, that's what's gonna make him like a good rotation player in the NBA. Same thing with Jimmy Butler's. They have all the skills that he needs to develop. So hopefully he can learn a lot from Jimmy, who has a lot of similarities physically, and you know, to really develop that part of his game. But he's gonna get his chance. I mean, he has to. They're gonna get desperate for shooting at some point in the season, and they're like, we can't make a trade, we can't sign somebody, so let's go to RJ, and hopefully RJ gets those minutes because I think RJ deserves to get some minutes. And people in Boston will probably remember RJ as that guy that got cut for James Young. But the fact of the matter is, both James Young and RJ both clearly deserved a roster spot on a, you know, at the end of a decent NBA team, and there wasn't enough room for them, so RJ had to go elsewhere. But now he's on another decent NBA team that was willing to cut. I mean, they already cut him, but like was willing. They would rather have RJ than Spencer Dinwiddie, who's someone that can compete for a roster spot in the league. So there's no question RJ belongs in the league. He belongs. He deserves to get some run at this point. I mean, the guy was a first round pick last year. He has the potential to be a deadly shooter. So like, the Bulls are very incentivized to give him some extra run because they know, they're well aware of the fact that while they're trying to put together a team that can really pull something nice off here and compete right away, they know that this year and over the next few years, they're going to need to develop a shooter internally, and RJ is that guy for them, along with McDermott, of course.
Jared Weiss, quickly before we let you guys go, you've all been a bit of the voice of reason, especially on the Garden Report. So talk Celtics fans off the ledge. Looking ahead here, Celtics are now 1-1. Things don't get much easier. They go on the road to Charlotte, back home for a rematch with the same Chicago Bulls team, and then on the road again to Cleveland. I've got Celtics fans texting me. I've got my Twitter blowing up right now. They're seeing a 1-3, a 1-4 start. They're saying overrated. They're saying the Celtics can't afford to get off to this sort of a start. Talk them off the ledge. Tell them why this team will be just fine. And 2 weeks from now, we'll be sitting here. They'll be a game or two above 500 and trending in the right direction.
Okay, well, first off, if you're looking at a ledge after two games in the NBA, I don't think I can help you. Sorry, but if you are in a reasonable frame of mind, you can acknowledge that, you know, they barely squeaked by the Nets in the end, but the reality of the situation is their first unit destroyed the Nets, as you would expect, and it was their second to second and a half unit that really blew that game. So I wouldn't be worried about the core identity of this team working, because they showed that they can destroy the inferior talent teams like the Nets. And then tonight, they went against the Bulls, who shot their – Dwayne Wade had the best shooting game he's had, aside from, was it game four of the first round last year where he had four threes. But he had, like, the best regular season shooting game he has had in, like, four seasons. So if you're really going to pick a game to think that the team's identity is not what you actually thought it was, I don't think this is the right one. The Bulls played a really solid game. The Bulls beat the Celtics up in the areas where they had an advantage, and they got lucky, or they got what they deserved, because Wade hit some great shots tonight. And really, they were down two, and Jalen had that bizarre turnover, and then Wade gets a ball rolling to him across. It somehow rolls across the court. I still don't understand how that happened. And then he hit an amazing shot with a guy in his eye. So, like, it was a couple, like, freakish plays that it took for the Bulls to ice this game. So Wade, 8.5 times out of 10 is not going to make that shot. And then the Celtics, if they could get that defensive rebound, which certainly is not a guarantee in this game, they're going back down the court with a chance to tie it up. And then it could be a totally different reaction after this game. So there's no concern right now for this team. Obviously, they knew defensive rebounding was going to be an issue. They knew that three-point shooting wasn't going to be great, but it was going to be better than last year. And they know that their second unit is going to have some issues. And we kind of just saw everything that you could expect to potentially go wrong against a good team. I mean, the Bulls are a solid team. They're not going to – I was not one of the people that thought they were going to be a 32-win team. I think they're going to be floating around 500. Maybe it'll be even better. But – I mean, it was a tough game. That's what happens in the NBA. You don't get to win by 25 every single night.
Well, you find him as host of the Garden Report. You find him as a contributor to Sports Illustrated. And you find him on Twitter, at Jared Weiss, NBA. Jared, thanks for taking a few minutes out of your busy Thursday evening to talk Celtics fans off the ledge. We look forward to doing it again real soon.
Hey, thanks, guys.
There he is, Jared Weiss, taking some time here, talking Celtics fans off the ledge after the Celtics lose their first road game of the season. They lose in their first back-to-back situation of the season, a place where the Celtics went 12-7 last year, a place where the Celtics really made their identity what it was last year, winning these second games on back-to-backs on the road with travel. That was their calling card last season. Celtics lose tonight at the hands of the Chicago Bulls, 105-99. A disappointing loss, a loss in which you feel like the Celtics had an opportunity to win the game, multiple opportunities to win the game. They just couldn't come all the way back. It was sort of the story, the theme, the trend of the evening. And when you get your asses kicked on the glass in the manner and the way in which the Celtics did, it's very difficult to come back and win NBA basketball games. It's Patrick Gilroy, alongside Josue Pavone, Jared Scaly behind the glass. Looking ahead a bit here, Celtics have a valuable day off tomorrow, but they find themselves on the road again Saturday in what I find to be a very interesting matchup. You've got the Charlotte Hornets, who, of course, are 1-0 right now. They beat the Milwaukee Bucks. The Charlotte Hornets, a team the Celtics finished last year essentially tied with, both teams winning 48 games, but a team that lost a couple of its core players. Big Al Jefferson, not in Charlotte anymore. A team that comes into this NBA season with similar expectations to what it had last year. But those expectations, I feel, are based on the continued maturation and progression of guys like Kemba Walker. Kemba's going to get better. He will make up for the offensive losses that Charlotte suffered in the offseason. Jeremy Lin, of course, we saw him last night. He was their starting point guard, a guy that team leaned on for 15, 16, 18 points a night. So Charlotte taking a bit of a different identity this year, but it hasn't affected their win projections. It hasn't affected their projected playoff positioning. They are still very much a team that all the pundits are picking to be a mid-level Eastern Conference playoff contender, which is exactly where they finished last year. So
yeah, absolutely.
Do you worry, Josue, about the Celtics going on a little two-game slide here, then coming back home and facing the same Chicago Bulls team again? I didn't want the Celtics to start the season potentially 1-3, 1-4, because let's face it, after the Bulls game the Celtics have next week, they go on the road again for a game in Cleveland. I need to see this team come out of this thing 2-2. I would like to see 3-1. That's probably not going to happen at this point. But I felt like it was very important for this team to do better than what they did to start last season. People only want to remember, Josue, how the Celtics finished last season. Of course, they finished last season great. They went 19-3 through their last 22 games at the Garden last year. That's how strong they finished. But the Celtics started the season very much a 500 team. Through 14 games last year, they were 7-7. And this year, with the lofty win projections, the 51, 52, 55, hell, you've seen 60 out there for a number. I don't think starting off 1-3, 1-4 is something that anybody had anticipated when they were predicting this team to be a 54 game winner.
No, I don't think so either, Patrick. But I think out of the two games, I think Saturday's game against the Hornets will probably be the tougher one, in my opinion. It's another road game. They're playing against the same Hornets team that they've already faced twice in the last, three weeks. They faced them twice in the preseason. And this is going to be a tough team. Like you said, this is a team that has high expectations because they have Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. He's healthy now. They've been waiting to see him healthy for an entire season. So they want to see where they're going to match up in the Eastern Conference when he's completely healthy and can play a full season from them. And, of course, they're on the road. Road games are never easy for this Celtics team. This is still a young Celtics team, and they're still back on the road again. That's the only one day rest. You go back to onto the road again to Charlotte, and then you get a nice rest. You come back home, and I think, like you said, this may be a team that's going to love their home cooking. They're going to love playing at home, whereas they get to do against the same Chicago Bulls team. They get to seek revenge there, and then they're off to play the best team in the Eastern Conference, the champion. Cleveland Cavaliers. So this isn't going to be, a Celtics team that's going to get out to a 5-1 record or 6-2 record. It's going to be they have a couple of tough games ahead of them right now. These three games are pretty tough, After that, they're going to Denver. They're playing the Wizards. I mean, these are games that the Celtics should be able to win, but let's not forget that this is a team that's missing two of their guys off the bench. This is a team that's still going to try to find their identity again, because a lot of these guys are coming back again from last year, but this still isn't the same team that we saw last year. They still have to mesh. They still have to find their rhythm, find their funk, and that's always tough to do when you're on the road.
It is, but I have to say this before we get out of here tonight. Celtics lost on national TV tonight, and that hurts. But this team has earned themselves, I believe it was 23-24 nationally televised games this season.
Yep.
That's a feat that nobody could have expected in their wildest dreams a couple of years ago when they tore this thing down, only to rebuild it again. But I have to say that I thoroughly enjoyed when I turned the game on tonight and I heard Marv Albert and Mike Fratello. Those two guys bring me so far back to the NBA on NBC days. Marv Albert, Mike Fratello, the czar of the telestrator. I mean, some of the best basketball I ever watched was on Sunday afternoons, 1 o'clock, with Bob Costas in studio, NBA and NBC. And these guys bring you right back to that. And it's good for the Celtics to be in a position where that is TNT's A-team. Reggie Miller, he's great. But right now, the Clippers and the Portland Trailblazers, they get the B-squad tonight. And that's how far your Celtics have come. To get Marv and Mike second game for the Celtics, opening night for the Chicago Bulls at home, it's a big deal. I just hope the Celtics can live up to the hype. I hope that they can sort of make their way through this first month of the season, find their identity, figure out exactly who they are, everybody establish their roles, which is going to be difficult. Again, I don't think Brad Stevens ever anticipated Jaylen Brown being the first guy off the bench, but injuries and situational basketball sort of forced him into that situation. Jaylen Brown last night against the Nets, first guy off the bench. Tonight, in a close game against the Bulls, finishes the fourth quarter out with the starters. Maybe we'll be back here in 2-4 months, Josue, as the Celtics are cruising post-trade deadline, cruising post-All-Star break, cruising into the playoffs, and Jaylen Brown leading the way for Rookie of the Year, saying, wow, Brad Stevens, what a brilliant guy. He played this guy meaningful minutes. He played him in crunch time. He played him with the starters, and it all paid off. I don't know. Maybe it's all part of the master plan. It's certainly not the plan that any of us expected when the Celtics drafted this guy that, quite frankly, 90% of our audience had never heard of back in June.
Well, you know what? I love the point that you made about how they finished last year, how strong of a finish we saw the Celtics. Because before those last 20 games, there were people talking about the Celtics weren't even going to make the playoff. This is yep. going to be a big disappointing season, that, you know, this if Danny Ainge doesn't, you know, make a big trade, that all of this is for nothing. All these draft picks are for nothing. He's stuck with all these picks and he's unable to deal them. So this is the conversation that we were, you know, having right before they put the car into cruise control and were cruising by and getting themselves and fighting for a top three seed. You know, the adding someone like Al Horford has put them on the national stage. I'm listening to Kenny Smith and all these guys talking about the Celtics as one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. And I think a lot of it has to do with not only Al Horford, but the belief that Brad Stevens is one of the best coaches in this league. So we sort of have to pump the brakes here, not panic. I know we're not panicking much. Maybe other people are starting to think a little differently. Let's just pump the brakes. Let's wait it out. Let's see what happens after 10, 12, 13 games. And let's see which direction this team goes into. Because if it's under Brad Stevens, if he's the mastermind of this team, and he's the guy that's continued to improve his regular season record every single year since he's first started coaching in the NBA, then this is the guy that I feel comfortable with the Celtics as their head coach. This is a guy who I think is going to mold this team into something special.
Well, look, Josue, real quick here. Here's the difference. Last year, the Celtics entered the season with really no expectations. And this year, for the first time under Brad Stevens, there are expectations upon this team, which is why Celtics fans are reacting in the manner that they are. If this were last year, it's so what? They lost a game. They're supposed to lose a lot of games. This year, it's the first time since really Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen were here where the Celtics enter a season with heavy expectations, with that heavy national TV audience, with national exposure. Celtics fans are antsy. They're a little bit unsure. Is Isaiah Thomas and Al Horford really an all-star duo that can get you to 55 wins? A lot of unanswered questions for the Celtics team's questions that we will continue to answer as we go along here throughout the 2016-2017 NBA season on CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com, and of course on our new partner, ESPN New Hampshire Radio, ESPNNHradio.com. As always, today's show was brought to you by our friends at Movement Watches. That's MVMTWatches.com. You want to hit /CelticsBeat. It gets you 15% off your first purchase with free shipping. Let's not forget about our other friends over there at Audible. Audiblepodcast.com/try now gets you a free 30-day trial of audio books. Our music today was provided by Joshua Morse. And, of course, we want to thank all of today's callers and today's guest, Jared Weiss, from the Garden Report and Sports Illustrated contributor. For the CLNS Radio executive producer, the one and only Larry H. Russell, our program director, Justin Poulin, Celtics Live, the founder of our network, the one and only Nick Gelso. For my co-host, Josue Pavone, I am Patrick Gilroy. We'll see everybody back here again this Saturday when the Celtics play the Charlotte Hornets. Buzz City is back, and the Celtics will be in Buzz City this Saturday. We'll be here for your Celtics postgame show right here on CLNS Radio and clnsradio.com. For Josue and for my good friend Jared Scalley, I'm Patrick Gilroy. Until Saturday, enjoy the rest of your week.